Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
I told you I was going to talk to some three lively butchers. They're here now, but we have a proud tradition of farming here in Ireland. But along with that comes another essential part of the equation in getting the finest cuts of dinner to our finest cuts of meat to our dinner tables, and that is indeed butchers. The landscape has been transformed in recent decades, with large supermarkets taking a big piece of that pie, but we still have incredible artisanal butchers serving our communities right up and down the country. So I'm delighted to talk to today Hugh McGuire Jr. He's the managing director of the Smokin' Butcher up there in Navan and indeed Dunshaughlin. You're very welcome, Hugh. Sean Kelly has come all the way from Newport in County Mayo, and he's a stalwart of butchers, Kelly's Butchers there in Newport. Sean, you're very welcome.
Thank you.
And also joining us is Rick Higgins, a master butcher from Higgins Butchers in Sutton Cross, County Dublin. So we might start with you, Rick. You might just tell us a little bit about you and your shop and your, I suppose, your life well led in butchery.
All right. So I own and operate Higgins Family Butchers in Sutton Cross. I'm the fourth generation of the family to run the business. Me personally, I'm a butcher 27 years, so I've seen a lot of changes over the years. But in saying that, I've seen a lot of changes. Well, I've kept what I do very, very traditional as well.
Yeah.
So we still do, we bone carcass, beef, lamb, pork, everything is done on the premises, Bobby. So we're still very, very traditional, although we're constantly moving with the times as well.
And so, Rick, can I just ask you about that, boning whole carcasses? That's not something a lot of butchers do now. And clearly you've got an advantage in that you're dealing with a whole carcass. And I suppose there's, if you provided you handle it properly, there's a better margin in doing that, is there?
Yeah, there's advantages and disadvantages. Obviously, it's in my opinion, it's best practice to do it this way.
Yeah.
But also now we have the difficulty of getting rid of all the secondary cuts. But I'm really, really lucky, Bobby, that the following we have, the client base we have, are extremely educated in food and extremely educated in meat, and they come in and they seek out some of these secondary cuts that they can't get in other butcher shops.
Yeah.
So they come in specifically to me to look for these secondary cuts because they know it's the regular stock items, you know.
Okay, stay with us, Rick. I want to talk to our other two guests who you probably know. Hugh McGuire, you're very welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
The Smokin' Butcher, as you're known.
Yeah.
We've spoken to your dad, Hugh, also many times on this program. But remind us again about the Smokin' Butcher in Ashbourne and in Navan.
Right, so I suppose I'll start by bringing you back to the start. In 91, Dad started a business in Navan in a retail butcher shop. That was after many years of working in top quality shops around the country, again, his training. He always loved travelling, going to Europe, Spain, Italy, France, picking up little tips and tricks, bringing them back, and combining these ideas to make sausage recipes, black pudding recipes, white pudding recipes. We won a lot of awards off the back of this. And then in 2004, we opened Ashbourne, where we continued to innovate, be first to market, bringing new products to the market.
And in terms of your own, I suppose, experience, you have a culinary arts degree, so you're a cuisine man, a chef per se.
Yes.
But you've also learned the art of butchery in Switzerland and in, was it Germany?
Italy. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about what you learned there.
So in Switzerland and Italy, I did a few stints there in working in meat factories and butcher shops there. Italy and Switzerland would differ a lot in the charcuterie, where Switzerland would boil and poach and smoke a lot of the charcuterie, whereas in Italy it's more of a smoking and dry curing large pieces of meat. So, I brought back stuff I learned there as well and created a new hot dog range from recipes I learned over there.
Amazing.
Flying.
Now, Sean, thanks for being so patient. Sean Kelly, He's a legend of these parts. He's a owner of Kelly's Butchers in Newport. And I think, as you said to me before, next stop, New York. Is that right, John?
Exactly. New York is right. We're right on the coast, on the beautiful coast, Clew Bay.
Yeah. Now, you're, what is it, a fourth generation butcher?
I'm a second generation. My father started the business in 1930.
Myself and
my brother took it over, and I have family in the business now.
So this was, and am I right in saying that Dominic Kelly is still over the door?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Now, tell us a little bit about your own path, Sean. Again, I know you're, again, a specialist in the pudding business. How important is puddings in the overall context of what you do?
In my business now, puddings is the biggest part of my business.
Is it?
It is.
Right.
It's the biggest part of my business. But I have the shop, of course, which I'm very proud of, and we have a restaurant next door. And we're right on the Greenway. We're in the heart of the Greenway.
Yeah.
And for the summer months, it's unbelievable the amount of people that come in and know of the business and support us, yes.
And Sean, just again to outline your pedigree, you've got your own abattoir, you've got your own cattle, you locally source lambs in the area, plus you run the restaurant. So you can really say that you control everything from, I know that's an awful cliche,
that
farm to fork thing, but,
yes, we do.
Live and breed that.
Yes, and that's what we have our own. Look, I'm like the corn crake, I'm the last of a dying breed. We still have our own farm, we still have our own cattle, and we have our own abattoir. Whether I'm right financially to keep it open, I don't know. But while Sean Kelly is out running the operation along with my family, that's what I'm going to do. Because I can guarantee that the beef I sell, I won't have a bit of paper to say it's quality controlled by so-and-so. It's quality controlled by Sean Kelly.
Yeah. And that says a lot.
And I'm a long time in the business, and I know what people want. And I try and give people what they want. Money is hard got.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to spend money on my shop, I want to give them the best that I think is right.
Also interesting as well, Sean, that you're, I suppose, as well as competing with the supermarkets, you're able to do business with them. So
yes,
do you wrestle in your head with that business relationship?
I don't, because the supermarkets are businesses. They're there to make money. They're there to serve people. That's what I'm doing. I'm employing people in Newport. We're making so much pudding, thanks be to God now, that I am selling to Tesco. I'm selling to Dunnes and I'm selling to Musgrave's.
Yeah.
And a few years ago, if you said to me that I'd be doing that, I'd say you're mad in the head.
I'm going back to you, Rick, in terms of you've got a big dry aging business. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we dry age all of our beef on the bone, not only beef, lamb and pork as well. But like Sean said, it's quality controlled by me. So I put an awful lot of effort into sourcing and selecting the beef. We've strict criteria. And again, like Sean said, I'm not trying to compete with supermarkets. I'm sticking to traditional butchery values. And I'll never compete with supermarkets on price. So my whole thing is the quality end of it.
Yeah.
So that's why so much effort is put into sourcing and selecting beef. And that's what I'm really good at, you know.
And when you talk then about, you know, people and not competing on price, if you've got customers like Hawksmoor or Glover's Alley or Peplos, like these are people that are operating right at the top end of the market. So yeah, if they're your customers, that says a lot about what you're doing.
Yeah, and I suppose we're lucky enough that we don't have to. Now, I said it to one of your researchers the other day. I'm very lucky in the position that I am, but I worked very, very hard to get to where I am, you know?
Of course you did.
So we're lucky that we don't have to go out and seek business. 99% of the time, these people come knocking on my door. But some of these chefs are really, really high-end chefs, so they're really interested in what I'm doing. And I love working with them because they innovate as well.
Yeah.
So they respect
your craft. Would that be fair?
Yeah, and in turn, I respect what they do with my product, you know?
Yeah. Let's go back to you, Hugh. The growth in sort of smoking, slow roasting, briskets, all those kind of things that we didn't see. Are you still educating the consumer in those areas?
There's still education going on, yeah, but consumer knowledge has increased a lot over the years, which is great for us, which is great for butchers.
Yeah.
Because they're coming for specialist cuts, smoked products, stuff that you can't get anywhere else, only a good butcher shop. So we're more than happy to cater for them. But we focused heavily on smoking over the last couple of years. We've launched a brand off the success with the Great Taste Awards for our smoked black pudding. We won the Supreme Champion over there in London, so we did.
And well done.
We launched the Smoking Butcher off that in 2017, and that's our wholesale business where we're supplying the food service industry. And the chefs we're always working closely with chefs, creating bespoke products, bespoke burgers, smoked brisket, smoked beef short rib, anything they want smoked.
Yeah, and you've an online business as well now, Hugh.
Yeah.
Driving what, 15% of the overall revenue?
Yeah, our online retail is doing about 15% of overall retail revenue, so it is. It's going great. Last year, we actually launched our steak club. It's Maguire's Steak Club Beef Masters. And it's a subscription-based model where you get your dry-aged steaks to your door every month. You get cooking tips, you get wine pairing, you get...
And how's that going?
It's going great. It's proving very popular with the customers, yeah.
Yeah. Well done. Sean, back to you. You say that you have to change with the trends. You can't just sell chicken fillets anymore. Does it sadden you when you look at the chicken fillets that are out there and you think, God, there's so much more to meat than this?
Yeah, it does sadden me. But if the customer comes in and wants something, you just give it them. You don't be saying no. Serve your customer. Look, the hardest thing in business today is to get the customer into your premises. And when you get them in, look after them. That's simple. Like, we're putting the stuff into pastry now that if you told me a couple of years ago, I'd say you're mad. But we're doing so much on stir fries, on crude stuff, and that's what we do.
So the uncrude stuff is again, good pies,
exactly.
Beef Wellingtons, this kind of stuff.
Exactly. Not we don't do beef Wellington because the patty is in it and we don't make our own patty. And if I cannot make it, I won't use it.
Right.
And that's where we are.
You could go with a mushroom duxelle instead, couldn't you?
Exactly. But that's the way our business has gone.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about some of your marketing. I know you're involved in the Greenway, hiding puddings and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah, well, we have the restaurant next door. And during the summer, we have benches on the street outside. And one day I was in the shop. I don't mean the shop that much now, but I was in the shop one day. And I seen a family outside, three kids and the father and mother. And I... a jar of lollipops. And I went out and I gave the kids the lollipops. And the smiles that came on their face was unbelievable. It made me happy, right? So what I said to my son, I said, look here, we're going to have a hunt. And we'll put a puttog. A puttog is a 2.5 kilo black pudding,
yeah.
Right? And we're going to put it on the Greenway and we're going to give a mountain bike as a prize. And they told me I was daft, but anyways, we done it. And I mentioned it to a man that owns a hotel. He said, I want part of that. I said, okay, talk money. He said, I give a weekend for two people in my hotel. That was the Morani Park Hotel, if I can get involved. So I asked businesses along the Greenway. And it was called the Puttog Hunt. And Mayo County Council, Anna Connors, that was over the Greenway, heard about it. And she came in behind us. And in the end, I had 20 businesses that were the same mentality as me. We wanted to say thank you to the people that come to the Greenway.
Yeah.
And I had 20 puddings hid on the Greenway. And the least you could win was a voucher for 200 euros. The most you could win was a mountain bike worth 700 euros. And it worked a treat.
So is there any pudding still out on that Greenway we don't know about?
No, they were all found. They were all found. Now, Sean Kelly didn't hide them. We had a great man, Paul Stinson, a Dublin man that's living in Achill, and he hid the puddings. So, because if I knew where they were, Bobby, I'd be telling you, look, under that tree there. But they were all hid on the Greenway from Westport to Achill Island.
A couple of texts, and maybe somebody might help me with them. The first one is, I spent 45 euros in the butchers yesterday and it'll do two dinners for four people for the week. People are missing out by doing their dinner shopping in supermarkets. I presume you'd all agree with that.
Yeah, 100%. I might jump in on that. As premium as we are, we still have people that come in and they're on a budget. And like you say, and like you said there, people are more educated in meat nowadays. A lot more so than they were 20 years ago. So they're coming in and they're buying these secondary cuts that don't cost the earth and that are brilliant value, yeah. And they're able to feed their family on a budget.
Thanks, Rick. One for you, Sean. I used to deliver turkeys to Martin Higgins with my granny, Katie McCahy, when I was younger. The butchers were always great crack and would give you a lollipop. That must have been you.
I actually remember that lady well, believe it or not. Yeah, I remember that lady.
Do you?
I think it was her daughter that used to deliver it to us as well.
Yeah.
That's going back a long time. I was only a child at the time, yeah.
Maybe last word to you, Hugh. You're the next generation.
Yep.
I can't see Rick because he's on the phone, and I know how old Sean Kelly is. He's about my vintage, but you're the younger sort of butcher here coming through. How do you see the future of the trade?
I see the future in the trade where the butchers do have to specialise. The three of us here, Rick, Sean, and myself, we have specialised in pudding, dry aged steaks, sausages, puddings,
yeah.
Dry aged steak as well. That's going to be very important. And you have to be agile. You have to be able to move with the trends. A lot of people, they're not cooking as much as they used to be. So we have to cater to that and think about that when people are shopping. It's just very important to innovate. Very important to innovate. You have to constantly be innovating. The three of us are probably sick of innovating at this
stage. Well, no, it's great. And I'm thrilled to talk to all three of you this morning. And I'd like to thank you for your contributions.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.